Grace and peace to you. Merry Christmas, Emmanuel, God with us. Relationships are hard. There's one of my classmates at the seminary. He had dated this girl 2 times, and now he was on the 3rd time. But she was graduating off to teach, and he was going to the seminary for another 4 years. And so there we are on the bus talking about how he's going to keep that relationship alive. I said, you got to invest in the relationship. You got to have set times that you call each other and talk to each other. And it can't just be that one-sided thing where you want to call and talk to her, but she doesn't really reciprocate. You guys got to come up with a plan and agree to the plan that you want this relationship to stay together and that you're both going to work at it to keep it alive. That's what happened, and now they're married. Then you look at our relationship with God. We got it at the beginning, that fall into sin. We talked about it last night a little bit. Don't do it. And there I was with my burnt hand. Don't eat from that tree. All it took was a little prompting, just a little bit of prodding, just a little bit of curiosity. God doesn't have your best interests in mind. And then our relationship with God was torn apart. And then this huge boundary got put up between us and God. Kicked out of the garden. That's another thing that people talk about with relationships. You got to have boundaries. You got to have boundaries to have a healthy relationship. In this book, Boundaries, you can read it if you like. It talks about, well, what happens when you're the friend and you're putting everything into the relationship, but they don't reciprocate. They just expect you to take them out to lunch every single time. But then when you ask them, hey, I need some help or I need something or could you? Nothing. And so the boundaries book tells you, if you're in a relationship like that, you got to set a boundary. And if they're not willing to reciprocate, well, then your relationship's basically going to be over. You cannot have all these unhealthy relationships. I know a man. He's old. He's worn out. He kept giving and giving and giving and giving. But those people he was giving to, they didn't reciprocate. So there he is, he's working, even though his body's worn out. He needs to retire, he needs to hang it up. But he doesn't have that luxury. He didn't set that boundary he needed to set, and he kept giving. And now here he is in this spot. Can't retire. He's got to keep going. Now there's our boundary that we have. There is God on one side. Then there's us. And he desperately wants a relationship with us. He wants a relationship with us who won't reciprocate back, who can't reciprocate back. We couldn't go across the boundary even if we wanted to. We couldn't get rid of the boundary even if we wanted to. And the reason that boundary was set up in the first place was so that we wouldn't encounter a holy, perfect God and die. So in his love, he sets up the boundary. But then in his love, he sends all these promises, all these prophets, thousands of years of promises and prophets saying, I'm going to restore our relationship. I'm restoring our relationship right now. And if you know the Old Testament, you know what they did to the prophets. You know what they did. They said, we're going to follow you, God. We're going to do what you say, God. And it was short-lived. And so now here we are on the Christmas day where God comes from heaven and he punches through that force field, that shield of sin. He blows a huge hole in it. And he takes his standard and he slams it into the earth. He says, this is what my promises were all about. This is what the prophecies were all about. This is what I'm doing. I'm reclaiming the entire creation. See, the boundary wall has just been shattered. It's been destroyed. You get to that epic pinnacle line. John weaves us through all this doctrine, all this theology. We could spend forever going through it. And he gets us to kind of the bottom line phrase, God, if you're taking it literally, tented among us. God dwells among us. Not partially, not kind of, not in a figurative way, literally. Living among us. Because of that boundary, because of that sin, we were that blind, that deaf, that against God and against reciprocating love back toward him. We were that against him. That he has to get that close and personal. He has to get exactly like us so that we can see him, so that we can understand him, so that he can reclaim us. If we would listen, if God had listened to the Boundaries book, no way. No way. You see, all this grace, and that's what John ends our reading with. He came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Full of grace. This is the Jesus we see, and John sets that up right at the beginning of his gospel. This is the one. This is the one who punched through the boundary. This is God born just like us, true God, true man. He punches through it, and he punches through it how? In what fashion? Full of grace. And that's what the rest of the gospel shows you. He's full of grace. He goes to a wedding. And he makes so much wine. So gracious. He didn't have to do that, but he does. And he's also full of truth. He's flipping tables. He cannot let the Pharisees wreck it. He will come and reclaim us. You think of those that he reclaims. Think of Adam, that first man. He didn't have the Ten Commandments written out for him, but he had them written on his heart. You shall not murder. And what did Adam do? He murdered every single person that will ever live. Because of his sin, death came to all. Through the disobedience of one man, death came to all. Can you imagine that guilt Adam had? And he had to live 900 years. And then he had to watch that murder play out with his own sons. He didn't have Christmas every year. Maybe he had the opposite. Maybe he remembered every year the death, the murder, the death of both of his sons. Would he go to that spot where the ground soaked up Abel's blood and his other son was cursed? There is the Adam, the new man, living Adam's perfect life out for him, reclaiming him, reclaiming all of that death to life. You think of him reclaiming Peter, this disciple who denies his Lord three times. Think of that guilt. There is Jesus. This is what you get to hear in the Gospels. Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? And he gets to go out and feed his sheep. Peter is reclaimed, and he still gets to be God's spokesman. You get Paul. How did he reclaim Paul? Someone so against, so trapped in the darkness. This blinding light, the light of the world, comes to him. His own didn't know him. The one who created the world, and his creation doesn't know. Like a Ford salesman not being able to recognize Henry Ford. They didn't recognize him. Paul did not recognize Jesus when he came. So Jesus came with even more grace. Grace to the one who would persecute him. And he says, "You're going to be the one. You're going to be the one to spread to all the Gentiles, you." And he reclaims Paul. And he comes to you. You think of your relationship with Jesus. You think of all of your past sins. Think of all your foolishness. You think of all the time you spent running after the things of this world, and then you think of the sins that you still struggle with today. And how does he reclaim you? Well, I'll take you to baptism. There he washes that all away. The past, present, the future. Well, Pastor, what if I still struggle with that sin? He washes it away. John has that line, to those who did receive him, and then he makes that clear, to those who believe in him, he gave the right to become sons of God. Not by human decision, not a husband's will, but born of God. That's his grace to you and I. You believe in him. He works that through grace. The Holy Spirit works faith in you. And then you get to be children of God. I think the thing that is hardest for people to believe, maybe, is that God is still with us. That he is still tense among us and dwells with us. Pastor, he ascended into heaven. Well, there is one sacrament, there's another sacrament. And what do you receive in that? What do you receive in that sacrament? You receive Christ. That's what you receive. And that's why you come. That's why you desire. That's why you make sure you come and receive the sacrament often. Because that's where, when you struggle to believe that God is with us, that God would still be in it, that God still desires a relationship with me, how could he show you that he wants a relationship with you more than that? more than giving himself to you, more than assuring you, I forgive you again. Yes, you. Especially you. So come up. Come up and receive the sacrament. Come and see Jesus dwelling with you. There are all your sins taken away. The Creator comes to you. He still draws near. The relationship is still alive. Amen.